Turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verses 37 through 54. The title of the lesson this morning is The Religion of Fools. That's what he talks about all through here, the religion of fools. And there's no way I'm going to get through this whole lesson, so we'll just call this part one. And then we'll take up the second part when I get back. Let's read these verses together. Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 37. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. And he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment. Matthew, it says, pass over the weightier matters. You pass over judgment, and look at this, and the love of God. What did they do? They passed over it. They totally neglected the judgment of God. They just passed over that. You remember what the rich young ruler said to Christ? All these have I done from my youth up. He didn't even think about it. He passed over the law. That's what our Lord's telling these people. You pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to have left the other undone. Woe unto you Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, for ye are the graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not even aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. We're offended. We're offended. You're talking about us. You're singling us out. We're religious leaders. People look up to us. Saying, thus thou reproachest us also. And he said, woe unto you also, ye lawyers. For you laid men. What's that mean? That means they stack it on like you laid an ass for a journey. You pile stuff on it. You laid men with burdens grievous to be borne. And ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets. What's that talking about? That's talking about honoring those that they hated and killed. That's what that's talking about. And then you go out to the cemetery and you put up a big monument and you say St. James on it. St. Paul. When he's alive, though, you killed him. You despised him. You couldn't stand him. You took him out and stoned him. But when he died, now he's St. Paul. You build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly, you bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers. For they indeed killed them, and you build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I'll send the prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which were shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel, my soul. That's all the way back to the beginning. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, you hindered. You stood in the way. You told them, don't go over there, that's a cult. They think they're the only ones in the world who know anything about God. Don't go over there. Don't go. Listen to me. Listen to me. Don't go over there. That's what he's telling them. It was the same in that day as it is in this. And he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees. Rather, as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and provoke him to speak many things. They tried to make him angry so he'd say something. Why'd they do that? Well, they did that, verse 54, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. I took my title from verse 40, Ye Fools. The Religion of Fools. And these verses are about self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is man's foolish, ignorant, and vain attempt to make himself righteous. To make himself... Paul said, I bear them witness, they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of the righteousness of God and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Self-righteousness is the religion of fools. It is the hypocritical claim of men and women that they attain or have a righteousness before a holy God because they earned it. They worked it out. Paul tells us that he before proved that both Jew and Gentile are all under sin. He said, I proved this to you. How? From the Word of God. From the Word of God. And then as he begins his explanation, he does so with this statement, there is none righteous. No, he knew there was going to be an argument. No, he said, not one. Not one. Well, wouldn't we be fools if we attempt to do something contrary to the Word of God? If he says there's none righteous, none. I don't care who you are. Or what about the Pope over in Rome, especially the Pope? There's none righteous. No, not one. Not one. It's insane to do anything contrary to the Word of God. It's just vanity. And to show the folly of their religious convictions, our Lord had a lot to say. He had a lot to say. Now here's the picture. This Pharisee invited him to come and have dinner with him. And the Lord agreed. He said, okay, I'll go. So he come to the house, and all these religious folks, they peeled off to the side, and they started washing their hands and their face. And they didn't just wash their hands. This washing that they had was a traditional ceremonial type washing. They washed their whole bodies. Their feet, their hands, their face. Christ just went in and sat down at the table. And I'm going to tell you something. Religious men of high standing have a purpose behind everything they do. Everything. It was no accident that the scribes were there and the lawyers. This was a trap. This whole meal was set up to catch him in some kind of error and expose him as a fraud. You remember that last verse I read to you? Laying wait for him. That's why they invited him. Laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. That's why he's invited. But this was the God-man. He could discern the very thoughts and intents of the heart. He knew what was coming. He knew what was coming. So let's look at the basis of all these woes that he pronounces upon them. And the snare that he sets for them and his rebuke of their ways and means. When the Lord came to the Pharisees' house, he went straight in and sat down to meat, and they marveled that he not first washed before dinner. Why didn't he wash? You reckon he never washed before he ate? Oh, sure he did. Several places it talked. He said, "When I come in, you offered me no water to wash my feet. This woman has washed my feet with her tears and dried my feet with her hair." Sure he was. Why didn't he wash on this day? Because he's going to set a snare that's going to snare them. That's right. And he just went in and sat out. You want to watch somebody choke to death, go out with a religious man and have a meal and just sit down and start eating. He'll just about choke to death. Don't you think we ought to offer thanks? Well, yeah, I did. Didn't you? Oh, I didn't hear you. I wasn't talking to you. I'm talking to the Lord. We give thanks to the Lord. We don't go through earthly priests. And I don't pray to please you. If I pray, it's to give thanks unto God and to praise Him, not you. Well, do you always feel that way in public? No, not always, but most of the time. Most of the time. He'd been touching men and women, shaking their hands. Who knows what he had on his hands? I wash my hands if I can before I eat. But he didn't wash his hands because he was setting a snare for them. And when asked, here's what he said, verse 39. Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter? You all worried about your hands and your face and how you look and your appearance and what men think of you when they see you and the things you do. That's what you're concerned with. You make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but on the inside, that's where the filth and the wickedness is, on the inside. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. That didn't just pop up on the outside, it come from the inside. When leprosy appeared in the skin, it began inside. That was just the effects of it on the outside. That's just the evidence of it. You can clean the outside all you want to. It don't do one thing for the inside. Self-righteous religion thrives on tradition. Washing their hands was a tradition. They said, "Why do you violate our traditions?" He said, "Why do you violate the Word of God with your traditions?" Huh? False religion thrives on tradition. I belonged to a church one time, and after we had the Lord's table, a deacon was the only one allowed to touch it, and he'd come get the bread and the wine, and he had to take it out to a secret place and dig a hole and pour it in there and bury it and say such and such words over it and then bring everything back and then wash it all, put it up. Tradition. Tradition. Self-righteous religion thrives on tradition and it ignores the Word of God. Throughout the entire history of worldly religion, they've held tradition superior to the Word of God. They always have. It's not something new. And most of the time, they do so pretending to be honoring and defending the Scriptures. What are some of these things? Holy water. They've never been to Taylor's, I can tell you that. I come home, that water had been sitting in the pipes for a few days, and you turned it on, I thought the sewer got in my water. Holy water. Huh? Put your finger, say thank you. And then you have to make a cross, you know, and then you have to say some more. Holy water. Where's that in the Scriptures? You haven't read anything about cleansing in the labor since the tabernacle. But those things have been fulfilled. Washing I need is in the Word of God. Washing I need is in regeneration of the Spirit. Washing I need is in the blood of Christ, not in a bird bath with some water in it. Holy water. I'll tell you another tradition, church covenants. Boy, when I first started preaching, I studied the church covenants. Boy, I was looking at all of them. Church covenants, church covenants. This is the church covenant. Right here. We're ministers by the Spirit of God of the new covenant. The New Testament. Huh? We don't need a covenant. I don't need to sit down, write out a bunch of rules and regulations. You do this, you'd be accepted. You don't do this, you're out of here. No, we just use the Word of God for that. That'll take care of it. That'll take care of it. Creeds. Confessions. Pledge cards. Can you imagine Peter on the day of Pentecost? He gets all done preaching, and then here they come out with these big sacks full of pledge cards. Now, everybody get a card. You have to agree here now to follow all the church covenant. You have to agree here to tithe. You have to agree here on attending so much. And if you don't, we've done you for the tithes. I didn't say that to be a joke. I mean that. They will send a man out and dun you for the tithes that you signed a card promising to put in. Just like a bank. So what's wrong with all these things? Well, denominational customs and historic theology become the basis of faith instead of the Word of God. That's what's wrong with it. The traditions become the rule of faith as well as the basis of it. And those who will not conform are put out. At the very heart of their creeds are three things. Here's how Paul sums it all up. And boy, if ever there was a man who knew about these things, it was the Apostle Paul. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he sums them all up. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Listen to this. He writes to the Colossians, and he tells them in Colossians 2, verse 20, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, the basic principles by which this world operates, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Does the world dictate how I live? What I believe? How I act? That's where the Lord found me. But he delivered me. For I called you out. Come ye out from amongst them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. That's where he found me. He didn't leave me there. He pulled me out of that mess. And why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Now, watch this. Touch not, taste not, and handle not. which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom, have in will worship. What we got today, what's out here on every corner, will worship. They have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility, outward humility. Oh, how humble the Pope. He gets out of a car specially designed for him, comes from a palace designed for him. He's got his entourage with him. Nobody on earth pampered like the Pope. And then he gets out and tries to be all humble. And neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. These are worldly things, natural concepts, reasoned by men who don't know God. Earlier in Colossians 2, he warns us, he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Cunning deceit. Where'd they get it? After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Everything required of the believer is taught in the Word of God. And the Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. I don't need to go to a church covenant for my doctrine. The Word of God's sufficient for that. Reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and truly furnished unto all good works. The rule of faith and practice is the Word of God, and the wisdom of it revealed in Christ. And he tells us, if you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. And then the second thing I see here is an ignorance of what salvation is. If they knew what salvation is, they wouldn't do what they do. They don't know what it is. Scripture says they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They read every book on the shelf, but they still don't know anything. They're no wiser. Man not defiled by what he eats, but what's on the inside. Our Lord said, you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter. Over in Mark 7:4, he tells us that many other things there be which they have received to hold in their traditions, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and tables. They wash the outside of the cups and the platters, but within, in their inward part, it's full of ravening and wickedness. As I said before, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, theft, covetousness, adultery. I was building my boss's house, big, big house, almost 10,000 feet. And he built on his property this huge patio to entertain guests and stuff. It would rival anything in Hollywood. Big fountain, about 8 foot in diameter, and a swimming pool, I don't know what all out there. And then on the other side of that was what they called a carriage house. It was about 4,000 square feet, and that was for guests to come. And we were out there working on the carriage house. We got his house done, out working on the carriage house. And I don't know what happened, but the septic tank was stopped up. And he called me and said, I don't know what happened. One of the grandkids probably put something down there. Anyway, he said, see if you can fix it. So my first thought was something got in the leach field. So I opened up the lid to the septic tank, and this young man was working with me. He didn't know what a septic tank was. And so he jumped down on his knees real quick and sticked his head down that hole. And he came out rolling across the grass, throwing up. Oh, he did. Huh? That's what happens when you find out what's in here. I don't have words to describe what's in here. What's in here. And what's out here is because of what's in here. The old guys used to say it'll leak out on you. And it does. It does. In Job 15:14, the Holy Ghost writes, "What is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous. Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Them who know the truth. Them who walk with God. Them who have the Spirit of God. He puts no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable." Oh, what a word. Abominable. "And filthy is man that drinketh iniquity like water." He drinks iniquity to satisfy the thirst and lust of an evil heart. He just drinks it. Not even a thought to the consequences. The outside appearance is a reflection of what's inside. Our Lord said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." How shall you, being evil, say good things? You can't do it. Can't do it. And then, after that whole list, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, all these things. Wicked thought. He says, all these evil things, not some of them. All these evil things come forth from within and defile the man. The religion of fools is filled with traditions and it's based on traditional reasoning. And the religion of fools always looks on and deals with the outward appearance, not the inward disease. And then thirdly, they're spiritually ignorant. Look at this, Luke 11:40. Here's his first words, "Ye fools." Ye fools. Being ignorant is having a lack of knowledge, not knowing, not understanding. "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." None of these men, none of these women knew anything about God. If they had, he said in 1 Corinthians 2, they would not have killed the Lord of glory. They wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known, they didn't know. They're ignorant. Ignorance is not the same thing as stupid. Ignorant means you lack knowledge. You don't have it. You don't know it. You're not born with it. It's something that God gives. He gives it. And you can be a brilliant person and be ignorant of spiritual things. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul writes, "But the natural man," I don't care who he is, he could be Einstein, "the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them." Why? Because they're spiritually understood, discerned. Natural men walk in the vanity of their minds, Ephesians 4:17-18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their hearts. And you can be a staunch Calvinist and be totally ignorant of spiritual things. Now I know firsthand. That verse I quoted in 1 Corinthians 2:14 is followed by this statement, verse 15. "But he that is spiritual judgeth." What's that mean? He rightly judges. He rightly discerns. He understands all things. He understands why God created the world. He don't speculate about it. He knows. He knows what that light is. When God said, let there be light, he's talking about the light of Christ. Spiritual man knows that. He knows that. He knows why man was created. He knows why man fell. He understands all things. But he himself is understood of no man. And then he quotes this old scripture, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Now listen, but we have the mind of Christ. Oh, my soul. We have the mind of Christ. With the mind, Paul says, with the mind of Christ, I serve the law of God. I don't fear it anymore. I don't fear it anymore. I see in Christ the very law of God honored and exalted to its highest position, fulfilled in every jot and tittle, and I serve it that way. Rejoice in it that way. And religious men and women had no spiritual discernment, and they're offended when you tell them that. Said, you shouldn't say that. I didn't. God did. God did. There's none that understand it. Ain't that what God said? What he said, not me. Spiritual discernment is how the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Now, I'm telling you because I've been there. You can walk in the doctrines of Calvinism and not know anything about the love of God. Just cold-hearted, dry letter. The letter killeth. It's the Spirit that giveth life. The Spirit of God reveals these things, and now you can taste them. If so be you tasted that the Lord is gracious. How do you do that? Through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. They have no spiritual discernment and they're offended. Spiritual discernment is what enlightens the heart. Spiritual discernment is how the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And spiritual discernment is what conveys the forgiveness of sin. Sprinkles the blood on your conscience. Surely you, when you read that, you didn't envision some invisible something coming in there with its fingers. No. No. It's the enlightenment of the Spirit. You see what that blood's all about. That blood from that red heifer that made that leper clean, purged him. That same blood, that was the blood of Christ. And it purges our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Spiritual discernment makes us aware of our adoption. He said, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now, I'm out of time, but Lord willing, we'll take this back up in our next lesson and try to finish these verses out. Thank you.